Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So a few points regarding the answers that were submitted on sincerity and being true. The first is just a point of adab, right? Which is the Prophet ﷺ said in a number of sound hadiths that كُلُّ أَمْرٍ ذِبَالٍ لَيُبْدَأُ فِيهِ بِبِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ فَهُوَ أَبْدَرُ. That every matter of consequence not begun in the name of Allah is cut off, right? وَأَبْدَرُ, right? And in another narration, أَقْطَعُ, right? Chopped off. In another, أَجْذَمُ, which means like blemished. Judam literally is like leprosy, right? Or, a debate. So, and they say that the meaning is ناقصٌ وقليلُ البركة, is deficient and lacking in blessing. So that's just a point regarding beginning. That always, anything of consequence. In fact, even, if you're an activist and you're sending out a proposal on how to raise funds for UncleRabbani.org, right? You should, begin the proposal Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, right? And then Imam Zabidi mentioned that there's five things that one should begin anything that one writes or communicates. Right? Three are spiritual things, right? So anything of significance, right? There's ongoing communication, but like you have a proposal or something you write. The first is to begin in the name of Allah, to send, to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And the third is to send blessings on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there's many texts that explain why. Right? And then there's two more things. Right? The first, and these are four and five. One is to say what you're saying, to make clear in the beginning, because you're not writing a novel, right? Okay. What you're saying and why it's important. Right? So for example, sometimes you get a proposal from someone and you wonder like, is it a proposal or is it like a community mystery novel? We have a proposal and this and this and this and this and this, and you go page five. Therefore, we need to establish a masjid around the corner from my house. You could have said that right in the beginning, right? And that's contrary to the sunnah. Actually, there's many hadiths of the Prophet that make this clear, right? If you look at the correspondence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right, he made it evidently clear who it was addressed to, what it was about, and also who it was from, right? Who it was from. Which, of course, in an email is kind of obvious because we know who you are by your email address. But those are just points of method. Those points would have actually improved a lot of the answers, because the question was, what's the difference between sincerity and being true? Ikhlas and Sidq, or Sidq and Ikhlas. And a lot of people described sincerity. A fewer people described being true. Like, what is it, right? But the question wasn't, tell me about sincerity and being true. The point was, what is the difference between the two? And that wasn't brought out. Although one person made the argument that there's no difference between the two. They're the same. therefore, why are there two terms for it, right? Another point that could have been made is that the answers highlighted why it's important, why definitions are really important, right? Because the way you identify differences is you define what one thing is, you define the other, and then you bring the two definitions together, and you'll see that there's, it's like a Venn diagram. Like there's an overlap, and there's points of distinction. But the problem that happens is you need the right definition. Because definitions are of different types. Right? You have a descriptive definition. Right? You have a descriptive definition. And you have what in Arabic is called a rasm. Right? A rasm, it sort of, in general, talks about something by some of its general characteristics. Right? Which is useful because it gives you, it allows you to sort of, a rasm in Arabic is also what? It's like a drawing, right? It gives you a picture of the thing. So that's very useful, right? But then there is what we call, what in Arabic is called the had, right? The defining definition, or, the actual definition, right? The had is تعريف الشيء بحقيقته. It's defining something by its reality. يعني they say وذلك يكون بذكر الأوصاف اللازمة. That is by mentioning the necessary qualities of something. Because there's general, you can say that a human being is a social animal. Well, so are all other animals, right? Like, pretty much, right? The human being walks on the face of the earth while thinking of God, right? Or whatever. That's like, wow, that's beautiful. But the problem is that all other non-flying animals walk on the face of the earth, right? So that's a nice description. And then this is particularly important when you're trying to compare one thing to the other. The descriptive definitions are nice, but they don't really help in making the distinctions. And the condition for what's called a had, an actual definition is أن يكون جامعاً مانعاً. For it to be inclusively exclusive. Inclusive in that it encompasses everything that the definition relates to. Exclusive in that it excludes everything else. And of course, this is why people study logic, right? Which is an important science, though it's been maligned because Muslims gave up trying to think. I think it was sort of one of the ways to deal with the crisis of colonialism is let's stop thinking, right? And of course, then there's a chicken and egg thing: did the stopping thinking come first or the colonialism, right? But either way, it's one of the most important of the sciences, although one of the critiques of it is that they say المنطق علم لا يحتاج إليه عاقل ولا ينتفع منه بليد that or غبي that logic is a science not needed by the intelligent and which fools cannot benefit from, right? So it's sort of one of those catch-22 things, right? That you study it, if you're smart, you already think logically. If you're not, and that's unfair, right? It's that's part of, looking. So basically, you're looking for a definition that's comprehensive. That, okay, what is sincerity? The definition that is comprehensive. And then definitions are also sometimes, there is the complete definition, right? Which is, inclusively exclusive, so that the relationship between the definition, between the term and the definition there, is one of what's called in Arabic mutabaqa, complete. It's a complete relationship, right? It's a complete relation. So if you define the definition indicates the complete meaning of the term. Right? And this is what's called in Arabic nisbatul al-fadhi lil-ma'ani, the relationship between words and meanings. And that includes definitions. So you have a term and its definition. So if you define the human being, for example, as the rational animal, this is considered a complete definition. Because it encompasses the complete reality of what a human being is, if you understand aqil in the right way. But then these other definitions that are what are called partitive definitions, right? Which is nisbatul lafz لبعض معانيه. Right? That it is the relation, the definition covers some of the meaning of the term, right? And then sometimes a term is defined not by what it is, but by its fruits, right? By what it entails, right? And that's the third type. So you have a complete definition, which is defining a thing by its complete reality. You have a partitive definition, which is defining something by some aspects of it, right? Such as saying that repentance is remorse. Remorse is one part of repentance, right? Defining the human being as an animal. That's part of the definition, but there's more to it. The third aspect is to describe something by that which it entails. So you say, what are humans? So you say, humans, the species that produced the Shakespeares and Rembrandts and the saints and the criminals, right? Whatever. So describing something by some of its fruits, for example. And there'd be dispute of what kind of that particular example. But why is that important? Right? Because when one thinks, one should think in a structured manner. And we'll, later on we'll be looking at logic and things like that. But these are things that even on a day-to-day basis, when you look at, because you want to know terms, you want, the same issue would come up if someone asks you, and you see this all the time. Someone asks the question, what do you believe about God, right? And how do you respond to that? Most people would give a vague general description, but you've not actually answered the question, right? And then there's also what the question states and what is sought from the question. Because they're asking, what do you believe about God? But really what is sought is what distinguishes your belief in God. Right? That's the actually sought question. Another thing that was not generally mentioned, actually, I don't recall any of the answers mentioning this, but it's kind of important, like if what's the difference between sincerity and being true, or the other answer, tell me about intention. No one quoted a single hadith. Just spectacular, right? And that's good. That couldn't possibly hurt, right? Because a whole bunch of hadiths on being true, a whole bunch of hadiths on sincerity, and I'm sure something could have come out of those. Almost none of the answers referenced anything, right? And it's good. You don't have to give like academic referencing, but like I'm sure you didn't make it all up yourself, right? So it's good to even just put author and name. Some people did. A number of people mentioned. Jurjani mentioned in the Book of Definitions, in Kitab al-Ta'rifat, such and such. And that's good. There's, of course, a few trips of adab. Someone said the readings were all repetitive, right? And, that would have been like, if we're Catholic, that would have been like excommunication or something. But we're not, so alhamdulillah. And a few people asked some good follow-up questions that arose from that, and that was positive as well. But these are some broad comments. A number of people thought about, one intelligent response is right here, that sincerity is all about what is sought, and Sidq, being true, is about the seeking, and there's a distinction made. But it's actually not a simple question. Right? It's not a simple question. And it wouldn't hurt to keep thinking about it. There's one of the characteristics of the people of مَنْ يُذِي لَهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Right? He grants, he instills understanding of religion in them. Right? Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas was asked, بِمَا نِلْتَ هَذَا الْعِلْمِ How do you attain this knowledge? He said, بِلِسَانٍ سَأُولٍ وَقَلْبٍ عَقُولٍ By a tongue that always was ever asking, and by a mind that was ever thinking. Okay? Or heart that was ever thinking. Right? There's a constancy. So one keeps thinking about it. You ask senior scholars complicated questions, and often they'll tell you, that's a good question, I've been thinking about that for the last 20 years. Right? And they still don't have an answer. Right? Because it's complicated. I mean, they'll know what answers are, but what's your answer? That's a good question, right? Which is why, some of the Imam Abu Hanifa said, if you see someone answering everything they're asked, then generally bear witness that they're crazy, right? Because they don't know. Although Abu Hanifa only didn't answer about 3 questions in his life, right? But there's a difference. He knew the answers, right? So those are some observations regarding the answers. Any questions before we continue?